This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
Andrew Cuomo in major trouble. Why he should be worried, very worried about a federal probe. And have we reached herd immunity, or will we soon reach herd immunity? Good morning. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us as we start another week. 855-839-1210 is the number, 855-839-1210. President Trump is going to speak at CPAC this week. I don't know if you're going or not. I'm not going, but he is going to speak at CPAC at the end of the week. It's going to be in Orlando, which is nice. I could certainly use a trip to Florida, but I'm not going this year, but... I would love to see him speak. I'm curious what he's going to say. There's no doubt he still has the absolute control on the Republican Party. There's been rumors maybe he'll take over Rush Limbaugh's 12-3 slot in radio. I don't think he would do that. I can't imagine him wanting to do a 3-hour daily talk show. I just can't imagine him wanting to do it. But I do think that 2024 is certainly it's there. And I was watching yesterday on the Unbiased Journalist weekly show that he does there on ABC, and he had on Margaret Hoover. Now, Margaret Hoover is not a conservative. You know, she is, but she's not a Trump person. She and her husband, John Avlon, they're in that moderate, quote unquote, moderate wing of the Republican Party. These are not Trump people anyway. But she said in the roundtable, she said she can't think of any reason why he shouldn't run in 2024. She said she can only think of reasons why he should run. So I would not, it, certainly I think that if he runs, he's going to win the nomination. I think that's pretty obvious at this point. There's just so much loyalty to him in the Republican Party. Democrats created a monster, and they really did. I mean, I told you this would happen. I said this by impeaching him. You know he's going to be acquitted. He gets acquitted. You really make the guy a martyr again. So just saying. Everything I said came true with that. I was absolutely right in my analysis of that. He's stronger now than he was. They refused to just let him fade away into the sunset. Not that Trump would fade away in the sunset, but they just refused to just ignore him. And instead, they made him the epicenter of everything. They went after him. They blamed him for everything. And then he was acquitted. And the Republicans felt like it was yet again another witch hunt against him. So really stupid. Democrats are dumb. The only thing I can think of is they just really want him around. You know, Chris Christie said a great point yesterday in that roundtable. He said the media is addicted to him. They have an addiction to Donald Trump. They really do, no doubt. And it'll be interesting to me on Sunday how much they cover his speech at CPAC because, you know, normally CPAC speeches get covered on C-SPAN. Is that what's going to be the case this week? Or will it be CNN, MSNBC, if not covering it live, because they don't want to pretend like they're actually interested, then talking obsessively about it in that day, the day after, all the morning shows talking about his speech? I think you know the answer to that, by the way. 855-839-1210, if you want to weigh in on things. Let me go to, let's see now, my mouse is not working here, so I'm having some technical issues with my mouse, but don't worry, I think it's just a battery thing. Ron is in Montgomery. Hey, Ron, good morning.
Good morning. I just want to say that if you remember way back when everything was let's flatten the curve, and the curve is now flattened, herd immunity is going to be exactly the same thing. Once we reach that, and who's going to be the referee on herd immunity? Because if it's a Fauci, forget about it. It's not going to happen. So they want this thing to continue for whatever reason. I don't know. I can't.
Oh, I know. I know, because they love having control. It's as simple as that. Governor Murphy last week said, yeah, but for the variants, he would be opening up more things. But for the variants. And he signed another executive order giving him absolute power for another 30 days. These people are addicted to power is what it is. They love it.
No, Rich, I understand what you're saying and control. You're correct. I have a hard time believing that there's people in our government that want to just kill this country, because that's what's happening.
But it's not about killing the country. Well, some of them maybe, but I'm telling you, power is the ultimate drug. When you have it, it's very hard to give up. It's why most people choose to seek re-election, Ron. They love having power. Yeah. And these governors have absolute power. They get to make all the shots and call all the shots. Yeah. That's the tough thing to give up, you know? So, especially in an election year, and Governor Murphy's up for re-election, so you're going to see him holding on to his power very, very much, I think.
Yeah. Well, have a good day.
Thank you, Ron. Appreciate it, buddy. Have a good day yourself. 855-839-1210. In fact, I got a call yesterday from Jack Cittarelli. Jack is challenging Murphy for the governor's office in New Jersey. He said, Rich, I'd love to come back on the show. I said, Jack, we'd love to have you. So, look forward to having that conversation with him. It's an uphill battle in New Jersey, but certainly can be done. I just had the former governor of New Jersey on Friday. He won two terms, so it's not impossible. And New Jersey and Virginia are two states this year, the only two states that have the governor's races, so they'll be close to watch. But let me go over the river, cross the river to the New York side for another governor. This is Cuomo, why he should be worried about a federal probe. His administration appears to have engaged in a cover-up to frustrate federal oversight. Imagine that. So this guy who wrote this op-ed today in the Wall Street Journal was the principal deputy and acting U.S. Assistant Attorney General for the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division. His name is John Doukas. And I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. He says, on March 25th, 2020, as you know, Governor Andrew Cuomo issued an executive order requiring nursing homes to admit hospitalized patients who had tested positive for COVID-19. The order also prohibited nursing homes from requiring hospitalized residents deemed medically stable to be tested before admission or readmission. By the end of the summer, New York had more than 32,000 COVID deaths, the highest in the nation, and more than double any other state. If New York were its own country, it would have ranked among the top 10 for COVID deaths. The number of deaths translated to the country's second highest death rate, more than three times the national average. What caught the Justice Department's eye was Governor Cuomo's claim that New York's nursing home deaths were lower than many other states, and that his March 25th order didn't contribute to the extremely high number of New Yorkers who died from COVID. Given the virus's disproportionate effect on the elderly, sick, and frail, this seemed unlikely. On August 26th, the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division, relying on its jurisdiction to investigate government-run facilities under the Federal Civil Rights of Institutionalized Persons Act, asked the Cuomo administration for data on New York's publicly-run nursing homes, which account for less than 5% of nursing homes in the state. In September, New York produced data showing it had underreported COVID deaths in government-run nursing homes by a third. The undercounting appeared to be due to several factors. First, when a nursing home resident who contracted COVID died after being transported to a hospital for treatment, they did not count it as a nursing home death. Second, New York didn't include deaths occurring before the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services began requiring COVID reporting from nursing homes in mid-May. They made reporting prior COVID deaths optional, and New York apparently elected to keep the information to itself. But New York officials knew the data they reported only went back to mid-May. The Cuomo administration misled the public when it relied on that data to claim in late September that the state's total nursing home deaths were low. The Justice Department, though, wanted the actual number, not the fake number, not the you know, number you can give to the public number. They had jurisdiction to investigate Medicare and Medicaid fraud. Armed with New York's admission that it had underreported government-run nursing home deaths by a third, Justice Department attorneys requested data in October on the more than 600 privately run nursing homes in the state. This time, the request was stonewalled. Months passed. New York refused to produce data, instead saying it was taking justice's request under consideration. A senior advisor to Mr. Cuomo called the expanded inquiry a trumped-up election eve scam from a politicized DOJ. Late last month, New York's Democratic Attorney General Letitia James issued a report showing that the Cuomo administration had undercounted nursing home deaths by more than 50%. Staggering finding that, you know, of course, contradicts the governor's claims. Then you had a top aide apologize to fellow state Democrats in early February for not being transparent with them over the nursing home deaths. The March 25th order led to tragic and unnecessary deaths. And the admission that they purposely withheld the numbers might be unintentional. It might be intentional, but it is perhaps also intentional and criminal. Numerous federal criminal statutes could apply. It's a crime to make false statements to the federal government. It's also a crime to conceal information and otherwise obstruct government investigations. New York may have engaged in a conspiracy to defraud the United States and its agencies and possibly obstruct justice, among other crimes. Even if it cannot be proved that the Cuomo administration knowingly provided false information to Justice and CMS, New York's willful failure to provide information may itself constitute a criminal offense, particularly if the intent was to thwart a federal investigation, which, after all, is exactly what Ms. DeRosa, the top aide, reportedly said the administration did. She said, quote, "We were in a position where we weren't sure if what we were going to give to the Department of Justice was going to be used against us, while we weren't sure if there was going to be an investigation." Translation, orange man bad. We lied to the feds. We did so because we thought they would use it against us. You can't not give the federal government information in an investigation because you think they might use it against you. You know, if the IRS is coming after you, you can't give them false information because you think it might hurt you or land you in jail. You have to be truthful with them. Department of Justice comes after you. The Civil Rights Division wants to know, or OSHA or any other federal agency, you have to be honest with them. The Cuomo administration knowingly withheld information. It was intentional. At first, everybody thought, well, maybe it was unintentional, until the top aide admitted why they withheld the information. They withheld the information because they were afraid that the Trump administration would use it against them. Why were they afraid of that? Because there's a lot to use against them in the information. That's why. Because they really screwed up here. They really screwed up. Another interesting point that was made on the Unbiased Journalist show with George Stephanopoulos yesterday, Chris Christie said that Governor Phil Murphy of New Jersey issued the exact same executive order as Cuomo, and nobody's talking about it, but they will. So to be continued on that, because New Jersey's nursing home deaths were also outrageous, as were Pennsylvania's, because Governor Tom Wolf also has major deaths from his nursing homes as well. Right now, everybody's focusing on Cuomo. They are going to focus on these other governors, too. Hey, speaking of the IRS, by the way, you can't go it alone. If you do have to deal with the IRS, please don't go it alone. You need somebody in your corner. That guy you need is Charlie Montesino. Charlie Montesino is the tax problem solver. He solves tax problems. He's a certified public accountant. But here's the thing. He's also a certified tax resolution specialist. That means he's one of only 153 people in the entire country who is certified to deal with tax problems. That's right. That's incredibly unique right there. So Charlie can help you end your IRS problem once and for all. Most people facing an IRS problem wish it would just go away, but wishing doesn't work. You have to act. Call him right now, 877-257-1040, 877-257-1040. Begin the process of solving your IRS problems today. Visit his website at taxproblemssolve.com. He's conveniently located in South Jersey, 20 minutes from the bridges. His number is 877-257-1040. He's the certified tax resolution specialist, Charlie Montesino, 877-257-1040 or taxproblemssolve.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Let me just do a quick check-in on social media from our friends at Cherry Hill Volvo. I really appreciate Jane Evans. She keeps tweeting me. She thinks that WandaVision is set in Westfield, New Jersey. Now, has anyone ever been to Westfield, New Jersey, by the way?
In Bergen County?
It's, I think, Union County, is it, technically speaking, I think? It's right up there in that Bergen-Union corridor. Have you ever been up there?
Yeah.
I was just up there. You know, I had to go to a funeral up in North Jersey, and it was one of those, you know, COVID funerals are strange, by the way. But anyway, I had this whole other family that adopted me into their family. I make wine with them every year, you know? And so Freddie, who's really the Don, we call him Don Federico, who listens to the show, he and his wife, Jeanette, well, his mom passed away, his mom, Alma, who was 95 years old. She's a sweetheart. And we had the services for her on Saturday, socially distanced outside, of course, at the cemetery, which, you know, was covered in ice and snow, but inside mass in a nice church. And Sheila, who's Alma's sister, is a great friend of mine and my family's, and she listens as well. But I've been making wine with them for, God, almost 20 years, I'd say.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and they're wonderful people. I love them all very, very much. And so she was like the matriarch of the family, so it was very sad. But I stopped along the Garden State Parkway. There's a rest stop there that I stopped. I know every rest stop. You could blindfold me like a prisoner. I could tell you where every rest stop is in New Jersey. Along the Garden State Parkway at a turnpike.
Why do you have this weird skill?
I've traveled the state so much in politics, from Salem County all the way up to Sussex County and everywhere in between.
Yes.
And so I know exactly where the good stops are. You know what I mean? So
like the good restaurant or places to eat,
like where you can get your Long John Silvers.
Yeah.
I want to call them
to bring it full circle.
Yes.
So, Greg, now Jane says Westfield, New Jersey. Now, it's true that Kevin Feige, who's the executive producer of the entire MCU franchise, genius guy, comes from Westfield. But if you ever go up there, the problem is in the show, there's a lot of farmland or I guess open space around the fictional town of Westview.
Yes.
There's no farmland around Westfield, New Jersey. You know what I mean? You got a lot of toll booths. You got a lot of shopping up there. You got a lot of very congested areas, which is why some people believe the show might be set in Salem County, New Jersey, or maybe down even below in the other parts of New Jersey that no one speaks of.
That's like interesting.
Cumberland County, New Jersey.
Oh,
yes.
I thought you were going to make a snide comment about Salem County, New Jersey.
Well, listen, I don't want to upset the six people from Salem County that live there.
Lovely people.
Lovely family compound. Yes, Dawn.
But there is a Westview. There is a Westview that's within Ridgefield Park in Bergen County.
Where's all the farmland around it for the FBI and SWORD to set up their massive intelligence operation? You can't find a playground maybe up there in that part of Bergen County. But that's about it.
Right.
Now, is there an Eastview, New Jersey?
No.
Oh, no, huh?
I don't think so. I think that's the thing they totally made up.
It's true. Show. They did. So the real town in the show is the made up town. The fake town in the show is the real town. Isn't that something?
Wow.
Who else came from New Jersey? Who's an Avenger? Anybody want to guess? Captain America. See,
he's
right, Bill?
Yeah.
He's from Jersey?
Yeah.
Well, technically Brooklyn, but it's in New Jersey is where the army base.
Yes.
Is where they made him into Captain America.
Yep.
In Jersey. Right, Bill?
Yeah, if you remember, if you've seen Endgame, when they go back in time, they go to the military base and it says the birthplace of Captain America.
Boom. See?
You know, I never want to be known as the nerd on the show anymore, by the way. You know what I mean? Like everybody makes fun of me for, you know, my nerdy likings, but yeah, no more.
Boxes that will pay for your child's college funds.
That's true.
Thank you, Bill. That's a very good point.
Collectibles, please. But sorry, I don't want to get off on a tangent.
No, go ahead.
No, it's not my show. No, I'm not.
It's not your show. No. You're the executive producer, and you're the corporate shill, so you can take over at any time by executive order. So go ahead.
No. I was just going to say there's an article in the that was in the New York Times over the weekend that VHS tapes now are worth a lot of money. So if you have like original VHS tapes that are unopened or, you know, in their original boxes, they're worth a lot of money. So
I was reading that and they're paying, I mean, tens of thousands of dollars for movies on VHS tapes.
Yes.
You can't get VCR. They don't make VCRs anymore, but there's still VHS tapes out there.
Yes.
I have an old school VCR /DVD player that my wife bought when she was like fresh out of college. We have it. I'm going to save it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely save it.
Yes. So like you could dub, like, is it one of those things where you could copy like one onto another? That's cool.
Yeah, you could do that if you wanted to. Yeah, and then you could make more pirate films. You know what I mean? Pirates, piracy's not a victimless crime.
I was just going to say that's illegal, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, they sold it.
And in the COVID relief bill, I think now they'll send you to Gitmo and execute you if you, I'm serious. They're upping the penalties for stealing streaming services in the COVID relief bill.
What?
Oh, that makes sense.
Yes. They're awful. I'm telling you, these people, to quote Joe Rogan, they're monsters. These people are monsters. In the COVID relief bill, which has nothing to do with COVID relief, by the way, I'll spend more time on this tomorrow. But yeah, that's one of the things they're doing is to increase the penalties on you if you stream somebody's like Netflix by chance.
Oh, Bill.
Oh, yeah.
Now I'm,
Bill's,
Bill's headed for prison.
They're the bell tolls for the V.
Greg's going to have to open up the spot for associate producer.
Well, let me thank Jane for that. I appreciate your diligence in trying to pursue the investigation here. And as old man Dudley says, Westfield isn't Union County. Westfield is a town ordinance that dictates all storefronts must be colonial style. Westfield's a great, beautiful town, but it can't be that town where it's set because of the fact of it's too congested in that area. I think it's inspired by it, the name, but it's not that town. And it can't be Bergen County either because, again, it's just too congested up there. There are parts of Bergen County that are a little bit less congested, but it's not that part of Bergen County. Anyway, fascinating. Thanks for Cherry Hovavo for that check-in on social media. This is the most interactive radio show in history because of that. And thanks to our friends at Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. Go see them. They're open and they would love to see you. Great, amazing specials on all new beautiful Volvos. Well, we have herd immunity in a few minutes. I'm going to have a guest on who says the answer is yes, we will by April. So thank you for that's going to be great stuff as well. But Greg, I notice on my cut sheet, I do have some Cuomo clips today.
Oh, you do. So should we start going through them? Yes, we should. So... You know, you have this vision in my head of Governor Andrew Cuomo as a mob boss. And I always think about when mob bosses are telling somebody of something that they didn't see is like, oh, no, you're confused, right? You can do the accent. I can't. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't see that. You were confused, right? That's a typical mob boss thing. Well, Governor Cuomo basically says that about the people who lost loved ones in nursing homes, that if we fill their head with all this nonsense, they get confused. So it's actually their fault. This is his there are many clips here, but this is the first non-apology apology. Let's start with cut four, Bill.
I want to set the record straight on nursing homes for a number of reasons, primarily for the families of nursing home people.
Good, they deserve it. Good, good, good.
We created a void by not producing enough public information fast enough. People wanted information. We did not produce public information fast enough. That creates a void.
I don't think it's what they're mad about.
What happens in a void, especially today in this environment?
Oh, boy.
In this toxic political environment.
Toxic.
Something fills the void. And conspiracy theories and politics and rumors fill the void.
Oh,
void.
And you can't allow inaccurate information to go unanswered.
Right.
Twitter, bogus reports become a reality at one point.
Oh, okay.
Social media, 24-hour news stations, if you don't correct it, it gets repeated and it gets repeated.
Also,
and it gets repeated.
It's true,
and then
gets
people
repeated.
Think it's true.
Uh-oh. Dummies.
It's a very difficult environment to operate in.
Right.
We created the void by not producing enough public information quickly enough. I get that.
Okay.
But then it was exploited.
Oh.
With misinformation.
Oh.
People playing politics.
Oh, right.
Republicans playing politics. Personal attacks, personal agendas. And now this continues and people get confused.
So he's apologizing to the families for the void, not killing their loved ones, but the void of information that was created. Is that right? Is that the translation there?
That's it. That's it. And all the misinformation out there, these families who are grieving, they're just confused.
They're just confused, right. These idiots are confused by Twitter and whatnot.
Yes, because they can't. They're dumb, right? Come on.
Now, the headline of this next quote is, no one has a right to spread lies about my nursing home scandal.
We took a little liberty, you know, in this. He doesn't actually say that, but it is what he is basically saying. It's basically what he's saying. Cut to
all right, basically true.
Those false statements must be countered. They must be, or else people get confused. No one has a right to spread lies or misinformation that causes pain to families. I understand politics is a nasty business.
It's a nasty business.
I understand people lie.
You people, you what you say about me after I killed all these people, it's a nasty business. I understand that. But why don't you go F yourself and then deal with it that way?
The elongated.
Yeah. Yeah, deal with it that way. I understand. They're gonna people. Politics is a nasty business. What is that? Nasty is a very quick word to say. Why does it take him 42 seconds? I understand. Politics is a nasty business, but you know, screw you.
Yes,
Bill. Rewind it if you would to that part, please, to where the nasty business comes in, please. Thank you.
No one has a right to spread lies or misinformation that causes pain to families. I understand politics is a nasty business.
It's a nasty business. I understand that. But what you don't understand is you're an idiot for not understanding what I tell you to understand.
It's true. That's the logic.
That's the logic right there.
Yes.
Yeah. I understand politics is a nasty business and they're going to say things about me, but I want you to understand you're an utter moron if you don't understand what I want you to understand, despite what actually may be, in fact, something you should understand. Understand?
Got it. Got it.
It's amazing. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
A nasty business with these people and whatnot.
He's so warm and cuddly, isn't he? Like
he really is, right? You see, let me explain what happened here. This is his explanation for nursing homes. Ready? Somebody tweets, and then more people tweet. And then Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. Do you understand now? That's my answer.
That's it. There it is.
Nasty
That's his
business.
Explanation. A nasty business.
Nasty business in this environment.
In this environment, and they're all coming after me. But I got to deal with this every day with these freaking people and whatnot every day.
He's so annoyed. He has to spend time on this. So annoyed.
How dare I got better things to do. You think I need to be here? I have things to do. I have people who need me and you and your little nasty friends. Everybody's blamed. Social media's blamed. Twitter, Facebook. Everybody but Andrew Cuomo is blamed for this. Everybody.
Well, they created the void. I think
and
that's
the void.
Yes, the void.
Yeah. All right, let me tell you what I did wrong here.
I did too much.
I did. Yeah, I cared too deeply. That's my big mistake. And I forgot the fact that this is a nasty business in this environment. All right, we got a guest coming up, and I'm very excited to talk to this doctor about herd immunity. Maybe this nightmare will finally be over very, very soon. But before I do that, Newsmax TV. Newsmax TV, you got to check it out. Listen, what are you waiting for? Newsmax is real news for real people. And I was on there last week. I'll be on there again tomorrow. So check it out. It's on your cable. You have it everywhere. And now there's another bestseller by author David Horowitz. His book, Dark Agenda, reveals the powerful forces who want to remove God from schools, God from the military, and even our public life. And on Newsmax TV, Sean Spicer looks at the real facts about the dangers facing free religion. So watch Spicer and Company, 6 p.m. Eastern, find out the real truth. Millions are tuning into Sean Spicer on Newsmax TV. It's now America's fastest growing cable news channel. And you have it on your cable system now. Just check your channel guide. You can also download the Newsmax app and watch it right on your smartphone. Or you can stream it on your smart TV. And get the book Dark Agenda from David Horowitz and watch Newsmax for Spicer and Company. Tune in today because Newsmax TV is real news for real people.
Thanks for taking the Scioli Show with you. Rich Scioli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
The real question, of course, is will we have herd immunity? And what does that mean, herd immunity? I'm so glad you're with us today for our hour of nonstop talk. I want to welcome to the program, and you know what, Bill, do me a favor if you'd put him up for me because my mouse is broken. Dr. Marty Makary, he is a professor at Johns Hopkins, and of course, he's also a doctor as well, like a real, real doctor. So, doctor, thanks for taking the time today. Good morning.
Good to be with you, Rich.
You are chief medical advisor to Sesame Care. You're also the author of The Price We Pay, and you're also at the Bloomberg School of Public Health as well. You wrote an opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal, we'll have herd immunity by April. That's amazing. I'm so excited to hear this, doctor.
Well, I think the key is we've got to keep doing what we're doing, and we can get there fast if we are smart with our vaccine allocation. I don't know if it's going to be April or May. I personally think the end of April, we're going to have very low levels of infection, but we've got to be smart. And that means that we got to focus on first doses of the vaccine. We shouldn't be given second doses while vulnerable seniors can't get their hands on the first doses. We shouldn't be giving the vaccine first in line to people who are already infected with COVID and have natural immunity. If you look at the 77% decline in daily cases over the last 6 weeks, we've got to explain that scientifically somehow, and that explanation is natural immunity from prior infection is more widespread than we probably thought.
Now, I saw you this morning on Fox and Friends, and it was a great question that was asked of you, and I'm going to ask it again, and I'm so grateful you came on the show. Could the 77% drop in the last 6 weeks be due to the fact that it's so cold out and people are not going and getting tested, and therefore the numbers are lower? That's because of the reason.
It could be one of the factors, but here's the thing. No, in November, we had two parts of the country peak. We had New York and North Dakota peak, areas where there's very high seroprevalence of prior infection. In other words, a lot of immunity. Upwards of 50% of those areas have immunity from prior infections. They just, North Dakota, they basically kind of took the Swedish strategy, paid a heavy price for it with mortality. New York, they just got hammered early before people really knew what was going on. They have very high background levels of natural immunity. They peaked in November, and while the rest of the country dealt with a surge in December and January, they did not. They had a steady and steep decline through December and January. So North Dakota and New York's behavior may be a preview of what we're about to see, and that is a relative protective effect when enough people get natural immunity. And you add to that the vaccinated immunity, those numbers are rising fast. I mean, we're at about 15% right now. We could be at 30% by the end of March. Add to that the natural immunity. We're at herd immunity levels by end of April or May, in my opinion.
In your piece in the Wall Street Journal, Dr. Marty, you point out about antibodies. And this is really important to understand, too, is that if somebody had COVID, you know, we're not sure how long the antibodies are there. But as you point out, it's bigger than just the presence of antibodies, right?
That's right. We've always known that the 28 million cases of coronavirus that we've tallied, say, on the Johns Hopkins tracker, we've always known that's not capturing a lot of people who have been infected and go on to have natural immunity. But what is that extrapolation? Is it we've only been capturing and confirming 1 in 3 cases, 1 in 5, 1 in 10? Well, we've generally thought it was about 1 in 10 early in the spring, then maybe got to 1 in 5, 1 in 6 in the summer, and then 1 in 3 to 1 in 4 in the fall. And so if you use those extrapolations, probably 1 in 5 to 1 in seven cases have been confirmed. And the reason the estimates have been off is that we've been looking at testing in the community using antibodies to try to estimate what that proportion is, what the extrapolation is. It turns out that research from Sweden has shown that you're more likely to develop the activated T cells and not show the antibodies. In other words, get immunity from the T cells having memory than you are from the antibodies. And if you consider those with activated T cells, it's about double. So in other words, if you think 20% of the population has had the infection based on antibody testing, it's probably 40% because another 20% have the activated T cells without the antibodies.
For example, in February, my wife and I were both very, very sick. And we kind of thought, you know, back then, as I think a lot of people did, think it was the flu. And we just kind of figured that. But my wife was really sick, and she never gets sick. And we both had the flu shot. I looking back now, I think it probably was COVID. I know a lot of you probably hear those stories a lot. But I went and got tested for the antibodies over the summer, and it came back negative. The point you're making, though, is that it doesn't mean that I didn't have it, and it doesn't mean that I don't have the T cell response. It just means that the antibodies are not showing up in the test. Am I understanding that correctly?
That's right. Antibodies come and go, and they can linger for years, but they tend to sort of surge in the months following an infection. And it depends on the timing of your testing. You know, if somebody thinks, oh, I may have had it in the spring and they get tested in late summer, those antibodies might be gone, but the activated T cells are still there. And research from Europe shows if you, say, live with somebody who had COVID and they had the infection, but you didn't, and you never had symptoms, you test negative, you wanted to be safe and you get tested, and your test is negative, chances are you may still have the activated T cells. That's what the research from Europe has shown.
This is amazing stuff. Dr. Marty Makary joins me. Dr. Makary, MD, is a professor at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine and Bloomberg School of Public Health. He's the chief medical advisor to Sesame Care and the author of The Price We Pay. And his latest piece in the Wall Street Journal opinion is that we could have herd immunity by the spring, which is fantastic. So that's great news. That means that if you've had the virus then, and we didn't know how long you basically would be immune. If you come in contact with it again, the T cell memory is going to kick in, and it's going to keep you from getting the virus again. I mean, that's a fair way to put it, right? I mean, this is all very complicated stuff here, and you do an excellent job of making it easy to understand. So forgive my questions if it sounds very simplistic.
No, I'm having these conversations all the time internally in the medical community, with kind of the old guard medical establishment that says, we don't have data on how effective natural immunity is. And I respond by saying, open your eyes and look, we're not seeing reinfections, okay? Reinfections are less than 1% of people who had the infection. In a study from the UK, they looked at healthcare workers who are around coronavirus all the time. And then 6,600 healthcare workers who were documented to have coronavirus, the COVID-19, less than 1% ever developed a reinfection. And they were around it all the time. So we can conclude then, if you've had the infection, your natural immunity is about 99% effective. And by the way, in that 1% of the time people get reinfected, they're more likely to have a mild case, right? And that's what we care about. We shouldn't be focused as much on preventing the infection as we should about saving lives and preventing death and disability. And if you look at the vaccine trials, for example, they're also, you know, you hear 85, 95, they're 99% effective or higher in preventing COVID death. That's the real outcome we should be following.
Dr. Marty, somebody listening might be skeptical of this and might say, well, yeah, but people aren't getting it because they got it. And so, you know, they're wearing masks, they're social distancing. That's the reason why they're not getting it again.
Well, first of all, I think it's good to have different views out there, and I welcome it. And I could be wrong. I think that, you know, this is my opinion based on extrapolating the data on the underestimations of the prevalence of natural immunity in the literature. But the Google mobility data is out there, and it does show that we've had relatively constant active mobility at a certain level during the different phases of the peak. So if you look at the peak on January 8th, you know, before and after that, we've had some relatively stable mobility. We had a fair amount of travel at different points. We didn't see the gigantic surges that everybody predicted after Thanksgiving, Memorial Day, Labor Day, the 4th, you know, the BLM demonstrators, the political rallies. We did see an increase in cases in certain pockets, but we didn't see it influence giant surges, right? And I personally just don't think, and again, my opinion, that we've seen a sudden change in behavior on January 8th. We've seen a 77% reduction in daily cases since that date. Did people suddenly wear masks and the social distance? No, I think people's behaviors have been relatively constant.
I mean, this is amazing. I'm so happy to hear this, Dr. Marty, because this, you know, this means that the nightmare is almost over. I'm at the natural immunity that people have, well, as you write, will persist for decades after the pandemic is over. And you cite the Spanish flu data in that, too. Can you also tell us about what you discovered with the researchers in The Lancet and the Brazilian city that you cite in there? What did we discover there?
So researchers have identified that this city in Brazil called Manaus has actually developed herd immunity. They're at rates of, you know, prior of immunity of 76% from prior infection. It just sort of ripped through that city. And what they found is that even though there were some small outbreaks after that, the rate of infection was relatively very low. Now that we're following the Brazilian strain that could pose a risk, and these new variants could be a threat. The Brazilian ones is the one I'm watching the most. But look at the UK and South Africa. We were told it was going to be the downfall of Western civilization. Look at what's happening in the UK, where the UK strain is dominant. An 82% reduction in daily cases over the last 6 weeks. South Africa, a 90% reduction. Reductions greater than we've seen in the United States. So the tools we have, masking, distancing, and the vaccines, are effective against the new strains.
You also said this morning something fascinating. How many people do you think have actually had the virus and didn't know that they had it?
I think it could be 1 in 2 Americans. If you look at, you know, T-cell activation in people who felt great, may have even tested negative, or in reality, many people just didn't get testing, right? It's been hard over the summer. Remember, all these people over the summer and the spring, we fought like crazy to try to get testing. It was hard. We were supply constrained, right? We were behind the eight ball. We were pulling on the same supply on the same global supply chain for reagents and testing swabs and other things. And so testing was hard. And people still got the infection. They still developed natural immunity. And I think we're naive to read our Johns Hopkins tracker and say 28 million cases is all the cases that we have had in the U.S.
Last thing I'll ask you, and I know you're very busy, you're in high demand, and I'm so grateful for your time today, Dr. Makary. I can't thank you enough. You write that what we should be thinking about now as we're getting people vaccinated is, you say, we should reopen schools. We should limit the damage of closures and prolonged isolation. You write, contingency planning for an open economy by April can deliver hope to those in despair and to those who have made large personal sacrifices. Now, that's music to my ears, and I agree with that 100%. But my governor, Phil Murphy, said the other day he would do more reopening but for the variants.
Well, I think we have to look at the data on the variants, right? And the data on the variants in the UK and South Africa show that they're way down. And just because a variant is going to be more common doesn't necessarily mean that it's something we cannot control. It's pretty clear, and I agree with Scott Gottlieb on this, is that we're not going to see a surge due to a variant this spring. Now, the fall may be a different story, and hopefully, you know, I think the fall might look like a bad flu season. We'll probably have an adjusted vaccine that hopefully can address that. We may have to put our masks back on in the fall as we brace for what's, you know, maybe a seasonal coronavirus. We'll see. We'll wait and see. But for now, you know, loneliness is one of the big epidemics in medicine, and it's dominant, and it predated COVID, and it's been magnified during COVID. And we've got to rebuild communities because loneliness affects your physiologic reserves. And with kids, it can result in suicide. A kid is 10 times more likely to die of suicide than coronavirus. Just ask the county in Nevada that had to reopen their school district after they saw 18 suicides in their area. The CDC guidelines are a scientifically flawed disaster. This is a settled science. It's a purely political issue. They created testing requirements and links to background levels of cases we don't use for anything else. They're not based on science. And if we apply them to the airline industry, where adults safely sit shoulder to shoulder with masks, we'd ground every plane in the United States. It's a disgrace what we're doing, treating our kids like this.
Well said. Dr. Marty Makary, professor at Johns Hopkins School of Medicine and Bloomberg School of Public Health, I thank you so much for this. We'll post a link to your opinion piece. We will have herd immunity by April. Thank you, doctor. Keep up the great work. Really, truly appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Rich.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Told you I'd bring you some optimism today.
Thank you.
And by the way, you know, I mentioned how I think me and my wife had COVID in the late winter, early spring. And I hear stories all the time from people who say the same thing. What I'm so happy about from Dr. Makary's interview is that even though we tested negative for the antibodies, we have that T cell memory. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And that is fantastic. And so we have protection built in from the coronavirus. And we can protect the herd. I mean, this is groundbreaking stuff here. It really is.
It is. It's just great to hear that optimism. It's just, you say, oh, thank God. Because then you have a date, maybe sometime in April or early May. I think we all need that.
We do. And I like what he said about we may have to put our masks back on in the fall. But that sounds to me like you can take the masks off in April. That's what I got out of that, right?
Yeah, but, you know, moving forward, I think the truth is Asian countries have done this for a long time, that during flu season or somebody doesn't feel well, they put a mask on.
Yeah,
not
I don't
just because
be
of
like,
COVID.
I don't want to be like an Asian country, though.
Well, but
you know what I mean?
I think that they're ancient civilizations. They're really smart. And they're saying, look, if you feel unwell and you need to go out, put a mask on. It kind of lets everybody know in the future, like you might have something or bad breath or whatever.
Bad breath.
At the minimum, right?
I can't wait till the day when I take my mask. I'm going to burn it. You know, they used to burn bras during the 60s. I'm going to burn mine in the public square is what I'm going to do. That's what I'm doing.
Burn your bra and your mask.
Yeah, burn your mask and your bra. Yeah. But two for one.
For your man
but
boobs.
I am really, what concerns me about this, in all seriousness, though, if I can make a serious point, what concerns me about this is I am running out of excuses to keep my mother away, and I'm really getting nervous.
Stop.
About, you know what I'm saying?
That like, is not nice.
So there's just going to come a point where I just don't
careful,
have any
baby.
Other.
It's a sin that you're saying that.
Yes. Yes.
Sin. As she's texting me.
Right,
there it comes. I see the little dots. Like she's typing. You know what I mean? You know, you see somebody. It takes her forever, too. I just watch the dots for minutes on end until she writes like one word.
Because then she's like, I'm not going to be that mad.
Yeah.
I'm going to erase that.
That means she's calculating what she's saying to you, though. She doesn't want to just spur the moment, just react. She wants to think about it. You know?
Greg is always defending Mama Zeoli. It's amazing.
It's an editing process. She's editing. She's not just, extemporaneously saying what's ever on the top of her mind.
Here come the dots again. Da, 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 da. She's texting. It's going to be two words like not nice or something. Go ahead. Come on. And she's 30 seconds behind. Yeah, she's listening on the stream. So this is the Rich, I can hear you. That's it. That Rich, I can hear you. I can hear you, baby. What Greg is in the Mama Zeoli defense fund. You're like the ACLU for my mother.
I love your parents. I love both your mom and your dad. I think you can tell a lot about a person by their parents, you know, how they were raised. So, you know, you come from good stock. That's good. You know what I mean? Like, I can't believe I'm the one being sentimental about this. I'm usually the snarky one, but
you know. I know. Well, they sent you a gift card after your son was born. And that's, you know, they bought you off. They bought you off.
No, it was very sweet of them.
They own you now.
He's mama-splaining.
They own you now. No, they're very thoughtful people, you know.
Parenthood is a nasty business, but I sent him a Babies R Us card, and now we own him. Now he's ours.
You and your wife are very generous too, so I know
we'll control that show. Just give him more gift cards. but not to Uber Eats.
No. Well, you don't have to name places. Come on. No, I'm serious. Like, we don't, you know, I'm just, we can do the topic without naming, you know.
Thanks, names. Greg. You're the best, baby. That's what she just texted. Thanks, Greg. You're the best. All right. What else? Oh, I got to do Sherry Hovavo, right? Speaking
yes,
of, oh, here we go. Dot, dot, dot. Wait, let's see what she's going to say. Dot, 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 dot. Type, type, type. Come on, Mom. You can do this. Let's go. Let's get it out. Come on.
She's like, do Cherry Hill, baby, and then I'll get it out.
We're originally going to have like a Mama Zioli update on the show. Yeah. We should get back to that. Like, maybe I'll text her the bat phone number, so whenever she has a thought on something, she can call in.
Why? She just texts me. Dot, 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 3 minutes later. Greg is the best with 7 exclamation marks.
Aw.
He's the best, and you're the worst, and you're the worst son ever. You're the worst. by the way, listen, I do have to do Cherry Hovavo, and they are wonderful people, and they're great friends, and they also sponsor our wonderful check-ins on social media, and now's a great time to go visit them. Look, one way to measure a company is the longevity and loyalty of the employees. It's just another area where Cherry Hovavo excels. Judith's passionate team members are dedicated to delivering a fantastic customer experience and always doing the right thing. Now, I've experienced this firsthand. Their parts manager, whose grandfather was Judith's father's parts manager, was just promoted to body shop manager. Service manager and pre-owned manager, 27-year vets of Cherry Hovavo, and they've never held another job. And their service manager even married a woman from the office. The list goes on and on. A body tech in his 37th year, 2 brothers. Also, technicians have worked there 25 and 31 years. Just great people doing an amazing thing, and that's because relationships matter. They really do. At Cherry Hovavo, it's not just something they say. And they look forward to building a relationship with you and delivering the luxury experience that you deserve. So head there today, minutes over the bridge on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. Go see them. You'll be so happy to see them. Do it today. Cherry Hovavo, where relationships matter. Speaking of nursing homes, this is what Joe Biden said about Governor Andrew Cuomo several months ago. He said that Cuomo was the best of the best, right? I guess that would be cut 9.
It was. I sent it to you separately, Bill. Biden gold standard. Yep.
Your governor of New York's done one hell of a job. I think he's sort of the gold standard.
He's the gold standard, right? The governor of New York, gold standard, right?
That's what he said in April of 2020, yes.
April of 2020. Thank you, Greg. This is Jen Psaki in my daily shot of Psaki as she repeatedly refuses to condemn Cuomo's actions. She was on ABC This Week with Jonathan Carl filling in for the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos. Cut number 9.
Now we've seen that Governor Cuomo has allegedly undercounted nursing home deaths, misled legislators in New York, and he called a New York Assemblyman Ron Kim, raising questions, basically threatening to destroy him, I think was his actual words. So does President Biden still consider Andrew Cuomo the gold standard when it comes to leadership on the pandemic?
Well, John, we work with Governor Cuomo just like we work with governors across the country. He's also chair of the NGA. So he plays an important role in ensuring that we're coordinating closely and getting assistance out to people of his state and to states across the country. And we'll continue to do that. And there, of course, will be a process. The investigations will leave that to others to determine, the appropriate law enforcement authorities to determine how that path is going to move as we look forward. But we are going to continue to work with a range of governors, including, of course, Governor Cuomo, because we think the people of New York, the people of states across the country need assistance, not just to get through the pandemic, but to get through this difficult economic time, and that's where our focus remains.
All right, but Jen, my question was, does President Biden still believe that Andrew Cuomo is the gold standard, represents the gold standard on leadership during this pandemic? Just a yes or no.
Does he still consider him the gold standard? President, the president, it doesn't always have to be a yes or no answer, John. I think the president is focused on his goal, his objectives as president of the United States. He's going to continue to work with Governor Cuomo, just like he'll continue to work with governors across the country. And I'm not here to give new labels or names from the president. I'm here to communicate with you about what our focuses are and what his objectives are as president.
Well, if she's not going to give new labels, and the last label given by the president is that he's the gold standard, I guess that means they still view Cuomo as the gold standard. There you go. Hi, Dawn. Good morning. How are you?
Hi. Good morning. Zilla Shoney's live, sponsored by Haller Enterprises. We are at 34 degrees, and we are still under a winter weather advisory. So we do have a couple of vaccine updates. New studies showing that one COVID-19 vaccine shot may actually be enough for those who've already recovered from the disease. So officials saying here in Pennsylvania, 1.9 million doses have already been administered, as a group of lawmakers is actually preparing to introduce new legislation to create a centralized sign-up database. Pennsylvania, among the slowest in the nation to distribute the vaccines. And that really brings us to Philadelphia. We've had scandals swirling around our vaccination process. So the feds helping Philadelphia with COVID-19 vaccines, FEMA officials confirming they are going to be opening a mass vaccination site. This is at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. The site will receive an allocation of coronavirus vaccine doses directly from the federal government. This could open as soon as March 3rd next week. And although we're going to get an update on the exact date, but it looks like March 3rd, they could be distributing as many as 6,000 COVID vaccines daily in Philadelphia. That would be a game changer. And we've been telling you all morning with back to school updates. This morning was supposed to be the big day for 9,000 school children. They were supposed to go back to classrooms for the very first time in a year. They've been home virtually learning for a year. They were so excited, pre-K through second grade. But no, they're waiting another week at least. So next Monday, March 1st, hopefully that's the day that they're shooting for amid this ongoing dispute between the district and the teachers union about building air quality and safety. So beginning today, teachers getting COVID-19 vaccines right now at CHOP, Children's Hospital. We continue to follow that one. Governor Phil Murphy signing new executive orders saying he's permitting parents to watch their kids play school sports and allowing spectators at indoor and outdoor high school and other youth sporting events. That brings us to New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy. Actually, there's a scandal swirling around Sky Blue FC, the New Jersey professional women's soccer team that's co-owned by the Murphys. So,
I'm glad you're bringing this up.
Yeah, so it's linked to this alleged immigration fraud conspiracy sparked by a federal investigation. So these are these newly released and filed court documents, apparently not implicating Murphy or his wife in this set of documents. So that investigation we have to learn more about. But we also know, meantime, the Murphys are welcoming new blood to the ownership group in the world of women's soccer in D.C. So the Washington Post reporting former first daughters Chelsea Clinton and Jenna Bush Hager are joining that group, investing in the Washington Spirit. So kind of interesting there. We have also have the, let me go to this new study. It questions that old saying, money cannot buy happiness.
Okay, so, well, I think money can definitely buy happiness.
Bob. Well, see, you're smarter.
100%.
You're smarter 100%. Than a Wharton business school grad, see?
Why would the Wharton business school grad say?
Well, he say, so, you know, previously we've had Nobel Prize winning scientists claiming, nope, once a person earns $75,000 a year, that's the plateau. You earn $75,000 a year or more, you're happy. Like your
that's
happiness.
It. You can't
is
get
not,
any happier.
Can't get
oh,
any happier.
Oh, please.
So the Wharton School grad business researcher, he says, no. Happiness continues to increase along with income well past the point of $75,000 a year. This is Matthew Killingsworth. He says, the more money you have, the more happiness you have.
Thank you.
Which is what Cioli says.
Thank you, Professor. Yeah, there's never like a billionaire going, I wish I only had $75,000.
They're not happier than you.
Right? Yeah. I wish this yacht that I have was just a rowboat and I only had $75,000. Like, nobody says that. You know what I mean? Ever.
So that brings me to remember in the exclusive interview with Rich Cioli and former Governor Christie, he said the name of Springsteen's lawyer, Mitchell Ansell of
yes.
Ocean Township. So I looked at him up and found that there is a big court appearance this Wednesday, February 24th.
No way.
For the boss.
Really?
Bruce Springsteen. Yeah. The DUI, it's a court appearance.
Oh, I think we'll have exclusive audio of the boss's testimony on Wednesday. Exclusive. Wow. That's outstanding. Good work, Dawn.
So, well, it was I got that name. I'm like, all right, let's look up the court appearance here. The NBC 10 First Alert forecast.
Will he stand in the middle of the courtroom when he does his appearance, Dawn?
Definitely.
I love it. I absolutely love it. That is awesome. The NBC 10 First Alert forecast. You know, in the 5 a.m. hour, Zioli said this storm today was a fugazi. And I'm thinking as I look at the hourly, because we're warming up to 40 degrees today. So by the time the alleged snow happens at 11 a.m., we're 36 degrees and rising. So this snow is going to quickly turn to rain.
So that's
thank goodness. It might be messy on the roads. Be careful, baby, as Mama Zioli says. But today, you know, it's mostly a rain event. Tomorrow, 44, partly sunny. Wednesday, 56 degrees with partly sunny. And then I don't see precipitation or snow because in the rest of the forecast because we're in the high 40s, low 50s, even into by next Sunday, 55 degrees. So thank goodness for
that. Thank goodness is right. All good news. All good news.
Yes, thank you. Haller Enterprises. Stay cozy this winter. Have your heating system cleaned and checked by Haller Enterprises for only $59. Visit HALLERheating.com for more info. HALLER, HallerHeating.com. One per customer, not valid on oil systems. PA 1867, Zioli Show News Live.
Thank you, Dawn. Coming up, Captain John Hoyt of the Philadelphia Police Lodge, FOP, FOP Lodge 5. The controversy over the district attorney's office disrespecting fallen officers. Straight ahead.
Talk radio 1210 WPHD.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.